shadows, the little village of his birth. His family always sleeping lies alone, gazing up toward heaven. A little tear falls to the earth, and he wonders if his sorrows here are known. His body racked with pain from his father's sharp disdain, he lifts his head and whispers in the night, if there's a God above, please send someone in love to comfort me and show me what is right. His brow was creased and wrinkled, his hands were calloused hard, his hair was gray, his body stooped with age. But his eye possessed a twinkle, and his gaze shot through my heart. His voice was strong, he looked at me and said, the harvest fields are wide, and I have laid forward now, the work of God embrace. How will they hear? How will they know? How will they ever find the truth if we don't go? How can we fear God's love to show? Jesus desires every child is loved to know. And around the world, in every tongue, to every nation, tribe, and clan, the gospel must be preached to every man. So who will go and light the way that leads lost souls to Christ? Who will go and lay down his life?
How will they hear?
How will they hear?
How will they know?
How will they know?
How will they ever
find the truth if we don't go?
How can we fear?
How can we fear?
God's love to show.
His love to show.
Jesus desires
every child is loved to know.
Truth, a great song. Thank you for singing that tonight. Get your Bibles in your hands as we get ready for the preaching time tonight. I want to give a bit of an introduction, if you will. The Lord moved the Lockwood family here to our church around 10 years ago, and they've been a blessing to our church, and we have enjoyed getting to see them grow in the Lord and serving in many different ways. Brother Isaiah had the privilege of being his youth pastor for years, and now his pastor. And it's been a privilege getting to invest in his life and to see him grow in the Lord and to serve. And Brother Isaiah has been such a blessing over the years of a servant's heart. And I want to just kind of tell you a little bit about Brother Isaiah. And I asked him to really give his, he gave a brief introduction this morning, but kind of talk about his call to missions and how the Lord's worked on his heart and share that with you. He's getting ready for deputation, which means he's going to go around and ask people for money for a couple of years, which is not awkward at all. And so he'll go church to church and pray that the Lord provides the funds for him to go to Greenland and serve as a full-time missionary and preach the gospel for the rest of his life. And that's really what God has called for him to do. As the family the Lockwood family missionaries in Mexico for about 10 years. And then about 10 years ago, the Lord moved them here to Shasta Baptist Church. And Miss Lockwood has courageously homeschooled all 12 of her children all the way through. Somehow she survived and about to kick the last one out here next year, I think it is. And Brother Isaiah graduated through our homeschool academy with being homeschooled by the family there. From there, went off to Texas Independent Baptist College, Pastor Bob Gray's Bible College in Texas, and trained to serve the Lord there and got a degree in missions. And so has been trained, and God called him in his life as a young person. He'll share with you about that, about Greenland. He didn't just spin the globe and go, Greenland, I guess that's where I'm going. The Lord put a call in his life, I believe, when you're about 10 years old, was it? Roughly. Around 10 years old, to go to the country of Greenland. It just so happened the Lord also put the call of Greenland on a young lady's life as well, named Miss Julia, and the Lord happened to bring them together. Isn't it amazing how the Lord works? And again, we're still waiting on edition 2 of a prayer card. There's someone missing on there. We're waiting to see that edition on there. After Bible college, Brother Isaiah came back in his preparation time of getting ready to go out to serve as a missionary and to be sent out of Shasta Baptist Church. And the last year and a half has served in many ways that many of you wouldn't probably know. He served in our bus ministry faithfully every single week, has been teaching primary church this whole time, preaching in our nursing home, rescue mission, King's Kids, ushering, counting offerings, has served in many, many different ways. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, we've got to fill a whole lot of spots as he gets ready to leave here in 2 weeks. And so we'll see if we can keep him around here longer. But as he gets ready to serve, he's been a servant. He's been walking with the Lord. We've had many, many conversations at extended length about God's call for his life, preparations to go and serve in Greenland. And so we are very blessed, Brother Isaiah. And thank you for your faithfulness, your testimony. Your testimony to our young people, to our church, and we're looking forward to supporting you. We'll talk more about us, what a supporting church is and how we can take them on for support at the end of the service as well. So would you please give him your ears and your heart and open your Bible? And Brother Isaiah, would you come and preach for us tonight, please?
Amen. Thank you. Okay, got that on. Oh, I was not ready for that. Haven't used one of these before. But I'll start off with, I'm not sure how many of you were here this evening, but talking about the burden God placed on my heart when, I forget exactly the age, but when I was in Mexico around that same time, around the age of 8 or 10, I'd heard the gospel many times, but I was always thinking that I had plenty of time to trust in Jesus Christ. I was a young kid. Everyone I knew was much older than me. Like, my parents were old back then. Not talking about now. But I thought I had plenty of time, but it wasn't until one night in family devotions when we were talking about the rapture that I realized that I may not have tomorrow. That even though I was a kid, I wasn't guaranteed another chance to be able to trust in Jesus Christ, and I knew that I was a sinner. And after realizing that, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And roughly around the same time, my mom was watching a missionary video from the Scholl family who were in Greenland at the time, and watching the video. Honestly, I don't remember most of what the video said, but there's one phrase that to this day I cannot forget, and that phrase was that they were the only missionaries there at the time, the only missionaries for all of Greenland. And with the climate there, you don't have the traditional roads that we have here. We could drive to Red Bluff here in 30 minutes. There, for a town that far away, you might have to take a helicopter, take a boat. You just don't have the access to all the different towns. So one missionary would have a rough time getting all those towns. And God just placed that burden on my heart to go help fill the need for reaching the people of Greenland. And even now, at the time there was one missionary family, even now there's two missionary families and only one Baptist church. So the need is still great, even now, about a decade later or more. And as the pastor said, went to Bible college. One thing that I was really blessed with in Bible college was my senior year of college. The way the missions program worked there was that they, for mission students, they have you intern in the field that you're hoping to go to. So because of the way the visas worked, I interned in Alaska for 4 months and then interned in Greenland. But One thing that I really noticed while I was there was, even though the Greenland is predominantly Lutheran with 90% roughly or more, one thing I noticed there is that it's mostly Lutheran in name. Just like many places of the world, the religion of, no religion is becoming more predominant. I didn't see people always walking to church on Sunday mornings. It looked like another day looking around the town. But there's a great need for the gospel in Greenland. So we're going to be, this evening we're going to be in our Bibles in the book of Isaiah. And no, that has nothing to do with my name, believe it or not. When I was growing up, I always tried to not have that be my favorite on anything, but just for that reason. But it is a great book. It does have some great verses in there. But the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, if this will turn. So whenever we're at home, eating a meal, obviously meals are very important. Man, that'll wake the teenagers up. After any meal, any lunch, any dinner, if I ever said that meal was delicious, that didn't sit right. Anytime, I would always say, man, that was satisfying. And that's how my mom knew that was a good meal, and I really enjoyed that meal, was when I was satisfied. You didn't have too much to where you're like, oh, your stomach just starts turning, you can't eat another bite. But you don't have too little where you're still hungry, because nobody wants to finish a meal and still be hungry. That is just terrible. But getting just eating enough, especially when it's a good, delicious meal, being able to have your fill and just be satisfied and be happy exactly how much you want. But along those lines, we're going to be talking about satisfaction this evening, although it's not going to be about food, sorry. Let's start off with the definition of satisfaction. Satisfaction means that state of mind which results from the full gratification of desire, repose of mind, or contentment with present possession and enjoyment. So satisfaction is, just like we were talking about with the food, is having your desires met completely. Not to where you've got too much or too little, but just the right amount. And then the word satisfied means to gratify wants, wishes, or desires to the full extent, to supply possession or enjoyment till no more is desired. So satisfaction is getting to that point to where you've got enough. Is like you, like that one little spot where it's just right. That's the point of being of having satisfaction. And then to satisfy someone is to bring someone else to that point. Through the years, y'all as well. Through the years, many times you read through the Bible about all these different places where God says He'll satisfy us with mercy, satisfy us. Satisfy our soul's hunger and thirst, satisfy the longing of our souls. God is such an amazing God. He satisfies so much for us. Like, just imagine how much mercy we need. And yet, there's always enough mercy for us. Amen. The longing of our souls. He give us purpose with our life. We're not just living here on this earth and just dying and disappearing. That's not how it works. But God gives us each a purpose. But One thing that you wouldn't really think of much is, what about God? When is God satisfied? And the Bible shows one verse where God is satisfied, just one. And that is found in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, we'll start reading in verse 10 and read to the end. The Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for just the many promises that we can find in your word, Lord, but especially with these verses here, Lord. Personally, these are my favorite verses, and I just thank you so much for the love that you have for us, Lord, and it's amazing to think about what satisfies you, and I just pray that you'd just give me the words to say, Lord, and just speak through me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So you've probably noticed this in verse 11, but it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now, growing up, through eighth grade, I was homeschooled through the Abeka curriculum, and we had to memorize all of Isaiah chapter 53 during that. Except when I memorized it, I missed one word. I memorized it without one word. When I get to 11, to verse 11, this is how I memorized. See if you can notice what word I missed. I memorized it as, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The one word in there I missed was of. Such a seemingly small word, but yet it's important. Because if you look at this verse without the word of, it says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now, this is talking about God's perspective. God is seeing Jesus on the cross. This Isaiah chapter 53 is talking about all the suffering that Jesus went through. And God sees, if it says, he shall see the travail of his soul, that's saying God sees Jesus on the cross, sees him suffering there, hanging, blood pouring out, and God's happy with Jesus' suffering. But that's not who God is. That would say that God delights in suffering. What would be the point of a trial then? If that was the case, Jesus would send us through trials just to see us suffer. But we know that's not who God is. That word of, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What this is saying here is when God sees Christ on the cross hanging there, he's not looking at Christ and saying, yes, he's suffering. Or he's not even saying, yes, I know he's suffering, but he's suffering for a good cause. No, when God sees Christ on the cross, he's not looking at the suffering. He's not looking at the fact that Christ is on the cross. Yes, it's a good thing that Christ died for us. But what God is looking at is he's looking beyond the cross. He's looking 10 years later, 20 years later, 1,000 years later. What God sees is when I was a 10-year-old boy, sitting on my parents' bed, accepting Christ as my Savior. That's what God sees. He doesn't see Jesus suffering and says, oh, that makes me feel so good. No, no, no. What God sees is souls being saved. What God is looking into is he's looking into eternity and seeing all the people that he will get to live with for eternity. And that's the one thing that satisfies God. It's not doing all these, as we would have many people might think, having all the wealth, having all the power, because God has all the wealth and all the powers, but that doesn't matter. What matters to God is spending eternity with you in heaven, with each and every one of us. That is the one thing that satisfies God. Yes, God is the most powerful. God is all-loving. God is omniscient, omnipotent, but all of that is all about spending eternity with each one of us. John 12, verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That is talking about Jesus dying on the cross. That if Jesus did not die on the cross, we wouldn't have a way to go into heaven. So Jesus had to die on the cross. And that's why God was so willing to let Jesus die on the cross. Because once again, all God wanted was to spend eternity with us. And it would not happen unless Jesus went to the cross. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Jesus himself was on the cross, he wasn't thinking, oh man, this hurts so bad. I hope it's worth it. That never once crossed Christ's mind. Never once. All Jesus could think about is the joy that was set before him. All those thousands and millions of people who would hear about what he did. All those people that he loved so much that would trust him someday. All those people that he would be able to prepare a home for them in heaven. That's what Jesus' joy was when he was on the cross. That's just an amazing verse to me, that's the one thing that satisfies God. We can find many things that satisfy us, but only one that satisfies God. And then with that in mind, that gives me a whole new perspective on sharing the gospel. We'll go to the second half of verse 11. It says, By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So God says, all I want, all that satisfies me, all I want is to spend eternity with people in heaven. So how is this done? By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. That's how it's done, for he shall bear their iniquities. When Christ was on the cross, he bore our sin because in heaven, God cannot let us into heaven if we have sin. But Jesus wanted to spend eternity with us, so he paid for our sin. It says, he shall bear their iniquities. Right here it says, this chapter is looking forward to Christ on the cross. I forget exactly what verse it is, but it talks about, there's multiple verses. Actually, we'll go back up to verse 6. There it is. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when Jesus was dying on the cross, he wasn't just dying. He was taking the sin of the world. That's what was so hard about the cross. Just think about when God saw Jesus on the cross, when all the sin was placed upon Jesus, the Bible says that God had to turn his back towards Jesus because of that sin. That had to be done for us to be able to spend eternity with God. That had to be done. And once again in verse 11, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So after all of that was said and done, Jesus died on the cross, and now there's a way into heaven. That doesn't help if nobody knows about it. That doesn't help at all. God loves us so much, but what if you don't know that God loves you? Are you going to accept his gift? Not at all. You won't be able to because you won't know of his gift. God said that by his knowledge. And what's amazing to me is the one thing that satisfies God, God entrusts us to share that. God doesn't say, this satisfies me, so I'm going to take all these people and they are going to spend eternity with me because that's what I want. That's not what God says. He entrusts us to share the gospel. He doesn't say, you will all spend eternity with me in heaven. That is exactly what God wants. God wants to spend eternity with every person in heaven. No matter who they are, no matter how good you are, no matter how bad you are, God wants to spend eternity with you. But God doesn't force it upon anyone. And God entrusts us to share the gospel. Romans 10, 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? As good as the thing that Jesus dying on the cross was, that's not going to do anybody good if they don't know about it. How many people know about it? Do you know anyone that doesn't know about Jesus' death on the cross? Do you know anybody at all? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now those are harsh words. And when I read this, I read it as being said directly to me because I personally do know some people that I don't know if they've ever heard of the gospel. And that is a shaming fact on each one of us. How many people do we know that have never heard the gospel? Do we have a coworker that doesn't know the gospel? A neighbor? Who doesn't know the gospel? And just thinking about in our town alone, can you say for sure, can you tell me with an honest face that everyone in Redding, California has heard the gospel? That every single person. And that's all that matters to God. All that matters to God is that all that satisfies him is that people spend eternity with him. And yet we won't tell them. Is there something more important to us than telling people about Jesus Christ, about the gospel? Are we more concerned with satisfying ourselves with all the money that we can get, with all the power we can get, with all the riches, with whatever? Are we more concerned about satisfying ourselves rather than satisfying God? Everything that this world can offer, riches, fame, power, it's all temporary. Once you die, it's gone. You can't take it with you into the grave. But the one thing that satisfies God is eternal. The one way that each one of us personally can satisfy God is trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Have you done that? I know this is my home church and many people here give a testimony of salvation, but honestly, I cannot say that I know every person here is saved. So have you trusted Christ? And the verses that you probably expect of many missionaries, but don't let the fact that many missionaries use these verses just turn your brain off to what they are. Think about these verses in the sense that God is only satisfied with the salvation of souls. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost hath come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." God has commissioned us with sharing the gospel. Not just here in Redding, California, but also in all of California, in all of the United States, and in every part of the world. But what each of us need to do individually is share the gospel with someone else. God doesn't say, just send missionaries and that'll take care of everything. No. It's just as important to share the gospel here as to send missionaries there. Just as important. God is just as satisfied with someone in Redding, California, trusting Christ as he is with someone in Greenland trusting Christ. Both of them satisfy God. Such an amazing, I'm just amazed, but that God would trust us with the one thing that satisfies him. How many of us betray that trust? Ooh, I'm quick on this one. But I just ask you as we close that, how many people do you know that you don't know that they've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and yet you know that all God wants is to spend eternity with them? How many people have you not told? Whether it be a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, someone at the drive-thru as you go to get a bite to eat or something to drink. How many people don't know? Especially when you know that that's the one thing that God wants. How could we not tell? How can we not tell that that's all God wants? How much God loves us, that the only thing that satisfies him is that we would trust him as our Savior, that we would accept a free gift. Like, who doesn't want a free gift? Because I definitely love free gifts. I'm all for those. But the gift of salvation, there is no other greater gift. And yet, many people don't know. Even here in Redding, California, many people don't know. So the two things I ask you today is, number one, have you personally satisfied God in trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? God loves you. And all God wants is to spend eternity with you in heaven. Have you trusted in him? And second of all, do you know someone who hasn't trusted you in Jesus Christ? Have you told them about what Christ did for them? Because all God wants is to spend eternity with them in heaven, and he's trusted each and every one of us with sharing the gospel. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for just these, all the truths that we find in your word, Lord, about how you are only satisfied with the salvations of souls, Lord. What a testimony to how much you love us, Lord, that I can't even comprehend how great your love is for me, that would be the only thing that satisfies you. And I just pray that each one of us would always be mindful of those around us who may have not heard, knowing that they won't be able to believe in you unless we tell them.
With head bowed and eyes closed, as God spoke into your heart in this area about your salvation, could you say 100% sure from the word of God and from your testimony of faith that you know for sure that you are saved and go into heaven? You remember a time where you trusted in Jesus Christ, put your faith in him, and that God is satisfied when your sins are forgiven and that relationship with God is restored. If you don't know that tonight, would you slip your hand up? I can have a word of prayer for you. Say, I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to know that I could trust Christ as my Savior this evening. Maybe God put a challenge on your heart about telling someone else about the Lord. How will they hear without a preacher? That's not talking simply about a pastor, but about someone that knows Christ as their Savior telling another person, one person reaching another person and telling about a God that loves them and that died for them. I pray that that's a challenge to each and every one of our hearts and lives, that if each of us do our part, more people will hear about Jesus and more people will go to heaven simply because we had a burden and a desire to tell them about the Savior. May that be a burden on our heart, Lord, not just to send a missionary to another country, not just to support a missionary, although that is, those are both great endeavors, but Lord, may it be a burden on our heart right here where we are to care about souls, right here in our Jerusalem to tell people about Jesus Christ, Lord. And I believe and I know that every time a soul trusts in Christ, you are satisfied and there's rejoicing in heaven. With head bowed and eyes